Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, Pop Art Painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I am very, very excited about today's show. We have a couple of very cool guests on. They are just really, really cool filmmakers, and they have a new film that just premiered last week at the Dance of the Films Film Festival out in L.A., I would like to welcome, without further ado, Mr. Ryan Barton Grimley and Ari Schneider. Gentlemen, how are you?
Yes.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Hello.
Great. Thanks for having us.
So, hey, Hawk and Rev, Vampire Slayers. How cool is this? You know, I watched the trailer and I was blown away. It was amazing. What an idea.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That means the world. That's literally the best. That's what we're here.
I am an old man, but I grew up in the 80s, and I don't want to say this film looks dated, because it doesn't, you know, it's filmed really well. At least it looked so to me. But it definitely had the nod and vibe to some of those funny horror movies that I grew up with. And I just loved it. I just loved it. Tell me, how did this come about?
Well, originally, I was trying to write a very serious movie about people who were misidentified as different stereotypes that could be a quote-unquote potential threat and or terrorist from the point of view of kind of a weirdo security guard who was a conspiracy theorist. And then I decided that I didn't want to make anything serious anymore. And
then the world happened.
Why am I doing this? I like old 80s horror and comedy. What is going on? So that's pretty much that started the journey anyway. And then I don't know. I mean, we got everybody together that we'd worked on before on other projects with. So we have this kind of rotating group of actors and crew, and Ari was up for it. So,
I have to say,
you know,
though,
then
I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm telling you to go ahead and I'm still talking. I apologize. Well, I was just going to say, I need to say it. Sorry. I'll never forget the day that Ryan said to me, so I changed the story a bit. It's no longer they think they're terrorists, they're vampires.
Huh?
And I was like, sounds good, let's do it. Just like the story that you were developing, how it changed from all of a sudden, it's no longer going to be like this dramatic thing. They're guarding this thing, it's the same characters, but they're vampires now. It was like, okay, let's do it. Sounds good. Let's just go for it. Why not? Vampires. I don't need an explanation. Let's just do it.
Well, the funny thing is, like, you talk to everybody about the, you know, the quote-unquote serious projects you want to make, and you always kind
right.
of get these sort of steely-eyed kind of like, I don't know, like, how's that going to be? But then you just bring up something silly with vampires and 80s references,
yeah.
and everybody's like, hell yeah, I'm in, man. Like, so
you
need that. You need that energy if you're going to make a low-budget movie, you know. You need
that
hell
point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was fun.
Well, yeah. And that's, you know, it looks like a fun movie, and, you know, all the interviews and everything I've seen of other people on, you know, in the, we're in it on YouTube and whatnot. Everybody just, that's what the, one of the common threads is, they always say it was just so much fun to make, you know? And you know, what a cool project, you know, what was the, no, I'm not in the movie business. I'm definitely a cinephile. I'm the cat that, you know, that has the backyard theater, and I make my friends watch, you know, French movies and with subtitles. So I'm into it. I'm really enamored with film. And something I learned, I didn't realize film projects took so sometimes they go quick until I start doing the show, but sometimes they take a while. Was this a long process from conception to, you know, where you are now?
I didn't have a bar mitzvah yet before we started this thing. And then, so, I mean, it feels like this has been half of our lives. No, this was, this was a long one.
I have children that are younger than this movie.
I do, actually.
Wow.
My kid was born. That is true.
No, I mean, so the script process was a while. Ari and I made another movie, Elijah's Ashes, and I made another movie called Repatriation that Ari's also in, made with a different director. Yeah. So that stuff was all kind of, you know, brewing around and
going
sort of in the way. But I think once we actually did a read through and started, it's probably 4 years now from the very first shoot.
Wow.
So we did an
amazing
initial shoot. We did rounds of pickups. We did test
lots
screenings. Ari and Robbie Elfman worked on the score for a good amount of time to dial it in, because it's a very strange tone of a movie. It's got a lot of stuff happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Special effects took forever because there is definitely some CGI in there. And, you know, we just kind of kept plowing ahead and did everything from a place of fun and passion and on a shoestring, and you know, and that's kind of how the whole deal went.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. Oh no, I don't know what your situation is, if you're married or whatnot, but I can't imagine sitting my wife down and doing that type of sale, you know, saying, okay, dear, we're looking at 4 years for this project, you know. I mean, she'd be like, okay, Picasso, on the street, you're delivering pizzas or something, you know, but you had other projects happening. But still, it blows my mind. Just the and this is an indie film, but the everything that goes into it, you know what I mean? And the time, and man, my hat goes off to you both, gentlemen. You know, it's amazing.
Well, we're just happy that after that amount of time, people are loving the movie. I mean, holy mackerel. Imagine if they didn't. After all.
Well, you know, a good thing is you guys are releasing it. You know, it's out in the zeitgeist now during this pandemic. And, you know, of course, the pandemic's horrible and, you know, everything.
Yeah.
But people need an escape right now. I mean,
they need to laugh. And
you know,
they're
chewing at the chair legs right now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
we're the
cure.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, we didn't plan that. No, I'm just joking. Yeah. I was saying we planned that, but I was just kidding. Go ahead, Ryan. Sorry. Yeah, it's a cure.
No, I mean, what was that tagline from the old 80s Cobra movie with Stallone? Criminals are the disease, Cobra is the cure. I mean, that's
I love it.
Wasn't that one of our taglines for the movie?
We did. We have. I there's an email I pulled up, like I said, of like 75 taglines I sent you. I think Ryan had to be like, all right, stop. Like, I had so much fun with all the different like just so many different word plays of slay, like, you know, time to slay, or like, you know, let, you know. all work and no slay, all these things, and you're just like, enough. Sorry, a lot of time.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Ryan's very good at being just like, okay, this is that one, let's move on.
Well, no, I mean, you know, it's the same thing with everything. Like,
otherwise,
it finally pops out.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah, I think that this movie, the people definitely are in a place right now. I know I am. Like I've been working on so many different stuff. I finally started watching shows again, and I realized I don't really care what it is I'm watching. I just need to be entertained right now. Like, it doesn't have to be deep. It doesn't have to be any, you know what I mean? And I think this movie is definitely, I feel like it's a very easy watch. It's a very, very easy watch. And I think we honed it down with the music and with the editing and with everything just to make it exactly how it's supposed to feel. Just fun and easy and not trying to do
heartfelt.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like you leave with like a heartfelt good feeling. You're like, yeah, you know, and I mean, we could all do with more of that.
Like, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, from a trend point of view, I mean, I definitely see this becoming, a cult classic. This is the movie you put on if you're having a party, you know, you have movie night or something, man. You want to have some fun. Everybody's having a couple cocktails.
Oh, thank you.
This is a cool movie to put on, you know, and watch with people. You know, it's not art house and super highbrow, and it doesn't need to be. You know what I mean? It's I think it's cool. I think it's a blast.
Thank you.
Dude, I love art house.
We like it.
Film and I just also, I don't know, like the antidote to people taking themselves seriously is to just laugh. And no one's making any comedy anymore. It's just wild because they're like, oh, it doesn't translate internationally. And I'm like, I don't buy that. I just don't believe that.
No.
Because I watch international comedy all the time. Subtitles.
Sure. Right.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's another fun thing about this project. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No.
I was just saying that another fun thing about this project was also, like, you know, there's the movie that you set out to make, and then there's the movie you shot, and then there's the movie that you edited, and it's like, okay, this is what we got. We have this thing that's an amalgamation. It's definitely a horror film, but there's a ton of comedy in there. And it kind of, but it goes from like their realism scared to goofy scared to like, you know, and so it's kind of like this blend of like paying homage to these movies, keeping it dumb, but also keeping the story real. But then also, so like, and I think that that kind of dancing over like these different styles was what makes it kind of, you know, you can't quite pin your finger on it. Like once it gets really silly, it kind of pulls back a bit. If that makes any sense. I think, you know what I mean? I think it was like kind of toying around.
You get a buffet.
What do we have? Yeah.
You get a buffet. It's a buffet.
It's a buffet.
A buffet.
A buffet of good times.
Of slang.
A buffet of good
times. Oh, that's kind of close.
Yeah.
It's cool. The funny thing was, when I played this, I said, Danny, that's my wife. And I said, okay, I got to watch this movie. You know, we got to do this. And she's like, oh, man, is this going to be like one of those weirdo David Lynch? I'm like, well, I don't think so. Here's the title. And I just read her the title. She's like, okay, let's go. Put it on. Let's go.
And
I don't know what it is about her. What's weird with her is she's not a big movie person. And she's like, I don't know if I can sit through a movie. I'm like, yeah, but you can binge watch 12 hours of 90 Day Fiancé, you know, no problem. She's like, well, that's different. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But she had no complaints at the length and everything. She was laughing out loud. I mean, and that's a good barometer, I think, you know. So,
absolutely. 100%.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean,
the wives
who,
like
who
it.
Knew,
yeah.
Who knew, like, what would, I mean, just 5 or 6 years ago, I think this movie was sort of maybe out of the box and possibly in poor taste. And who knew that things would kind of turn back to this kind of vibe? It's just funny, man. I love it. I love that women are actually getting the movie too, because that was definitely a fear of ours, that maybe it was a little too guy, you know, fart joke heavy, you know.
Well,
but
it's the female part in the movie that really does all the badass stuff too. We're just kind of like, you know, our characters are just trying to figure it out. We have Janet Savage, who's a fantastic actress and writer, by the way.
and she's very close to us, and you know, she's just a natural, and we were just grateful to have her on board for that movie. She plays Theo, the love interest of Hop, if you will.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I remember asking her. I said, are you worried about it just the tone being too dude heavy? And she's like, no, it's hilarious. I love it. I'm in. Okay.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think in general, culturally speaking, that women have changed a little. I mean, you know, I get what you're saying. Like when I was watching movies in that vein in the 80s, you know, yeah, none of the girls I was hanging out with or wanted to hang out with, I should say, were at those movies. You know what I mean?
Right.
They weren't playing Dungeons and Dragons with me and my friends either. Today, my wife has her Dungeons and Dragons crew, and I'm like, nerds, you know. But
yeah.
It's totally split, you know. So
yeah.
What do I do,
yeah.
You know? Yeah, I'm not going to cosplay conventions. Her and her girlfriends are, but you know, whatever, everybody, whatever makes other people happy and whatever. I think this really does. You need to turn, especially these days, you go crazy, man. You're watching the news all the time. I can't handle it. I need, like you were saying, Ryan, I need some type of escape. You know, it's just too much. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. If you are at higher risk, you should stay home as much as possible and avoid close contact with people who are sick to protect yourself. Call your doctor if you have concerns about COVID-19 and your medical condition, or if you get sick. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
Elbae Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com. to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
I think a nice thing that we did with the movie, especially with the dude heavy stuff, is there's so much irony there too, because I mean, it's dude heavy, but at the same time, they're not, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Brian's character comes off as this machismo dude, but he's just a he's
so we mercilessly make fun of him. Like, we just mercilessly make fun of him.
I don't know who gets made fun of more, my character or your character. And my character is like the pacifist, quote unquote pacifist, right. Just angry all the time. But right, the vegan pacifist who is not a pacifist. I mean, who Hawk can make him get angry. But so, I think that's what another fun part about it. I think these characters are just, we did not, as the characters themselves took themselves seriously. But like these guys are just goofs, they're jokes, and I think amplifying that. Is also, you know, maybe takes down the testosterone a little bit, if you will.
I hear you.
They have none. Yeah.
No, and rightly so. Like, I mean, you know, if like one of the things I love about 80s movies are those really fragile male stereotypes, and they're just so ripe to make fun of because they're just so serious, and it's just. Too serious to be believable. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I just had a friend of mine. She gets into these weird phases and whatnot. And her latest phase is, she was messaging me a film noir. She's like, can you send me some film noir movies to watch? And I'm like, sure. You know, and I sent her I sent her a 75 title list. You know,
yeah, I would have done the same thing. Yeah.
And she didn't watch any of them. I think she watched maybe one or two, but then she decided to watch Mad Men on Netflix or whatever, Tom. And she immediately calls me upset. And she's like, you're treating the women just I'm like, it was a different time. Florence Black. This is why you don't get treated like that today. You know, I'm being shamed.
Yeah.
But you can look at it and see the humor in it almost because it's just such a caricature. And that's what you guys are kind of saying, I think, with the 80s throwback references and whatnot. And it's true, you know, everybody. But it was cool to see a badass female in this as well, I thought, you know, that's cool. Very, very fun movie, man. Now, you guys premiered this at the Dance with Films, and I assume, no, again, I'm not in the movie business, so excuse my ignorance in advance, but I imagine you're shopping it now to various distributors, or when is it, I mean, I don't know if you have an idea when it will be available to the public.
It's such a funny process, because this is a completely independent movie. There is no distribution lined up ahead of time. You know, so we first were shopping it to festivals for a good year and a half. Different versions of the rough cut were going out, and the movie just kept getting more refined. And, you know, we were supposed to premiere at Fantaspoa, which is this massive horror festival in Brazil every year. And then, of course, COVID canceled that. Dances with Films, you know, may all the gods bless them. They took a chance on
that. Yeah, seriously.
And I think they really are happy they did, because it's sort of, they did a midnight section, you know, and I mean, there's some pretty, pretty steely horror in that stuff, man. And we were sort of counter-programming for them have... Yeah.
Hello. We're just gonna do a little comedy and horror. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Off of that premiere and you know, this nice buzz that's happening, where we're definitely out to distributors. I mean, we could be out by the holidays on all the streaming services, but I'm really pushing for a run of drive-ins. Really want to do that, because I think it's a perfect movie for that.
So. Oh, absolutely. And I don't know if it's still happening. I was reading all these articles a couple weeks ago, although it seems like several years. It's funny how time works now. It's like we're in a black hole.
I don't know where
they were turning all the Walmart. They were going to turn all the Walmart parking lots into movie theaters, or, you know, drive-in theaters like once a week or something. And I haven't seen any updates on that. I don't know if that idea got nixed or whatnot, but I was reading a bunch of articles about it for a minute there.
Dude, I would be so up for that. I mean,
like every choice we've made regarding, you know, creative choices on the film and what we've done, it's always been about following the fun. And mm-hmm. we've done that with our festivals. And I think if we continue to do that through distribution, it will reach the most amount of people and inject the most amount of fun and laughter into their lives. And, you know, if that's going to happen at Walmart parking lots, I'm totally up for it. I'll be there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is definitely one of those. And I'm not saying it's a bad movie, because it's definitely not. But it almost, I could see this like on the, I used to watch the old Joe Briggs show. I think it was on USA or something. I can't remember. It's been a mini martinis ago. But yeah, this is the type of, you know, the night type movie that's funny and fun. And, you know, it's one you would watch at a drive-in, you know, if you went to a drive-in. You know, it's, I'll tell you a good example. What was the name of that? It was a Stephen King anthology, and it had an Indian and the slime that came up through the raft.
I know what you're talking about. Our other composer was here. He would know.
It was one of those types of movies, but I saw that at a drive-in, and I recently, maybe about a month ago, I was scrolling through, and I saw it on one of the streaming things, and I tried to watch it on my TV, and I'm like, you know, this just isn't the same. I need my friends here with this, watching, you know. We had such a good time with that. But this is, I don't think your guys' film will come into that problem, because this is a funny film, and it's a nice escape, and it's definitely worth it. And the cool thing is, I'm kind of glad that distribution isn't sewn up yet, because what that means, and this is purely selfish, is I can have you guys back on when it does. You know?
Absolutely.
100%.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, finish it up.
I was just going to say, absolutely, for all we know, I mean, every studio's dumping every $200 million movie right now into the same bucket as Falcon Rev. So we may not come out till, you know, the end of next spring or even next summer. But,
right.
I mean, for me, I'm kind of like, I want to talk about the movie as much as possible and have as many screenings and
certainly spend a lot of time on it. We have a lot to talk about.
Exactly.
There's a lot of stories,
and it's smart because you know this project will go across somebody's desk and knock on wood that this is what happens. He says, oh yeah, I heard about that on some podcast, or my kid was talking about this, they heard about this, they read some review on some website, and it's out there percolating, you know what I mean? And I think that's a good thing. Can't hurt.
I have to say the reviews have been just ridiculously spot on as far as like what we wanted them to feel. You know what I mean? They said things along the lines of, you know, it's like this movie meets that, you know, like the, I don't know, some said it's like a mixture of like Lost Boys and Scooby-Doo. There's been a lot of different movie references, but like they basically have said how they felt is kind of exactly what Ryan and I were aiming for. I mean, it was literally almost like verbatim, like, don't come into it with too much, but you hope you will laugh and you will enjoy, you know. And it was just like, I have to say that they've been very, that's been very heartwarming, just to see these people just enjoy it and call it quotable and say that they could watch it again and again. And that's just, I mean,
and they got it, they actually got the tone.
They got
they're
it,
like,
yeah.
Yes. Because, I mean, we're not 100% doing dumb on purpose, but we're real close, you know? We're, like, right on that edge.
We're on, definitely. It's a very thin
line. Hard to do sometimes, though, you know, from what I understand. That's cool, man. That is cool. It is, and it's always cool when people are digging what you're doing, you know, when it works, when that communication happens, you know, the audience is like, getting what you're throwing down, There's no better feel, in my opinion. You know, I at least I feel that way with my paintings and stuff. I've had a lot of times where people, And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now, we all might feel a little disconnected. For seniors living alone with smaller social circles, feelings of loneliness and isolation can feel overwhelming. But there's something we can all do to help. Connect with your older loved one virtually and have the conversation of a lifetime with StoryCorps Connect. Anyone can conduct an interview, and every interview will be archived at the Library of Congress, becoming part of American history. Connect, honor, share at StoryCorpsConnect.org/AARP. A message from AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Just a quick note, like on the music stuff, like, is, you know, the co-composer Robbie Elfman, who's just beyond a prodigy when it comes to just arranging and scoring and stuff. And he and I, you know, we scored a good bit of that movie, and we also wrote some original songs. I don't think we've had like more fun do it. Like, we had to stop and just laugh for a bit, like when we would just come up with these ridiculous like little ballads and things like that, and it was just so silly. And I was like, oh, I really hope this carries forward with like the movie. Yeah, I mean, even the 80s little theme. The little horror, like, kill theme that he came. It was so 80s, and we were just like, oh, my gosh, this is hilarious. I really hope it doesn't ruin the movie. Like,
no
way.
It,
like,
it makes it even better.
On,
I know.
Forbidden Zone, yeah. Though. And, you know, that was a brilliant, brilliant movie. I know too many people that read too much into that. But, yeah, you know, he knows his stuff. And you got to work with him.
Yeah.
No, see, Ari, you also composed. And what? Let me ask you this. This is an easier question.
Yeah.
What doesn't Ari do? Because he's an actor. He's a thespian. Filmmaker.
I'm not
doing
on paperwork. No, I'm not a rock climber. That's a different guy. See, so that is funny though. I had my website arischneider.com. I've had it for 10 years, and then one day they're like, sorry, we gave it away. And I'm like, wait a minute. You guys can't do that. I have to pay.
They gave it away to a rock climber?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure he's a nice enough guy, and he's done some amazing rock climbing stuff. But I was like, I've been Ari Schneider website for 10, and my career is just starting to big. Like, I've did some great TV roles and some movie stuff. And they're like, we're sorry, we forgot to tell you. We gave it to this guy. And I'm like, isn't there a log? Anyway, so that's okay. He has
you
my
should
website.
Get a new website that's Ari Schneider, the real rock climber.
The real rock climber. I don't know. You know,
all you pretending to climb rock.
I mean, I'll take credit for it, sure. But I don't want to, you know, have a run-in with him because, I mean, even though he's a nice guy, he's a rock climber. So, you know, those rock climbers still don't mess around.
And I hear you, man. That happened to me like years ago. I had jamierocks.com. And I don't know, man. I remember I went to – where did I go? I went to Vegas for the weekend or something, and I forgot that it renewed. I had to pay for it. And I was out of town, and somebody bought it, and then they emailed me, and they're like, hey, $2,500, and you can have it back.
Right.
So I was like
– I mean, that's just like –
my
that happens
website,
a lot.
JamieRocks.us. $1.50 a year.
Yeah, that's the thing. I would have actually probably paid that. I would have paid that money. I probably would have been like, all right, man, fine, just give me my website back. This guy just straight up, it's not, they just gave it to, there wasn't even a renewal. They're just like, we were meant to send you an email for renewal. We're sorry. And I'm like, something's going on here. There's some rock climbing gangster thing I don't know about.
the
rock
climbing
underground.
Syndicate.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a nice guy, though. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And I wish him well. I hope he stays.
He's got a lot of chalk on his hands, guys.
Yeah.
Well, I was looking at the Facebook page, man. And I'm like, geez, look at all this. He's climbing, hanging up down.
No.
And the guy looks a little, he looks kind of like a kid. So I was like, oh, this must be an older picture or something.
Right. No.
There's a lot of other stuff
you can see me on. AriSchneider.com is the only thing you cannot see me on. All the other Ari Schneider stuff is probably I will say that I don't like paperwork. I'm not very good at that. That is the I know that that's a very non-adult thing to say, but and also, you know, when it comes to like, I've learned a lot about, you know, production and the cameras and stuff, but Ryan is such a kind of a, I was going to say idiot
savant,
but I didn't want to use the word idiot. Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
Full tech dork. Full.
Yeah. And so no matter how much I know about the technical things, Ryan like has already read 2 books on that. So it's just like, it doesn't, you know, I think that, I would kind of piggyback off that. Like there's a lot of strengths and weaknesses we bring to this. Like, you know, Ryan knows of music.
Can't do music.
I don't think I've ever heard.
No music.
Right. So there you go. And so, but so I think that marriage of like, okay, I can't do this. Can you do that? Yeah, I can do that. Can you do this? I can't do that. So I think that's the fun. That's with everybody involved. I mean, we, you know,
I remember sending you like an email, you were like, yeah, just tell me like some influences for the score.
Yeah.
And I sent you an email with like 38 things or something. And you're like, come on.
I was like, I'm just going to pick the best of, but then I do the same thing with Robbie. I'm like, hey man, here's some stuff to influence. And then, you know, it's like, I can play certain instruments and I can, you know, we can sing and we can cut stuff, but I can't do the stuff that he can do. I mean, he arranges and then, you know, he plays a million different instruments. And so, I think that's the thing. Surround yourself with people who are very talented and they'll make you look very talented.
Oh yeah.
I think that is the,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was just reading a biography about Bowie and, this is, I don't know, maybe a month or two back, and somebody had asked him, some interview guy. So I'm like, why would you ask David Bowie this? He's like, you know, everything you do is just so, you know, ahead of its time and just so good. You know, how does that happen? And I'm like, well, that's a terrible question to ask David Bowie, you know, come on.
But Bowie
is very classy. And he said, because I work with the best musicians, that's why it sounds the way it does. And I thought, well, that's a cool thing. He didn't, I don't know, maybe he kicked the guy out afterwards, but that wasn't in the book. But
he's right, though. I mean, if you look at our cast, every single person, even if they have one or two lines, is a phenomenal actor that is additionally comically gifted and could be a lead in a movie of their own. No problem, hands down. And because of that, all of the stuff just tracks through performance-wise, you know, and that's, dude, and people are like, how do you direct and act? I'm like, well, you know, you surround yourself with all these great actors, like, and let them have at it.
Hold their hand, right, yeah. Well, that's cool.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's in the script.
We're grateful.
So, yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, speaking of script, it's hilarious, and I'm friends with, I have a couple friends that are comedians, and you know, I'll talk to them, we'll BS and whatnot, and they say that, you know, they inform me that comedy is like just really hard to write. You know, it's very, and it's interesting because they're, I tell you, to the person, they're all very introverted until they're on stage or doing a thing. Then they're very extrovert. You know what I mean? It's when they're working, you can definitely tell they're working. Well, you're fantastic. Ari, did you help with the script at all, or was this all on Ryan's plate? Or
I mean, right.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of improvised stuff. I mean, in the final product, there's a lot of improvised, like alt versions of lines, and I mean, we had a pretty solid script. Maybe 75% of the movie is actually what's in the script, but another 25% are all gifts that happen on set.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know?
Nice.
Yeah.
And dude, you got to be open to that because you never know
right.
what the hell,
right.
you know?
Well, I mean,
there's that one scene that our good friend Brad, Jack Bradley, who plays one of the band members, the goth, I won't give away too much, but like anyway, he just has a line where he talks about him being scared, and I don't think that's in the script, that monologue
no.
he goes into about him being scared, and that's my best friend from childhood, and I to this day I cannot watch that without it just gets me. I'm
hilarious.
I'm like, what is he doing? What is he saying? He's just going off about his genitals and how it affects his fear and all this stuff. And it just, it's one of the surprises. It just like, I just, it, yeah, that was just so much joy. And I'm glad
Originally there was some, like in the scene, there's a miscommunication because Hawk thinks, because they were all at some point in a polyamorous relationship, that now that's going to suddenly happen because Hawk has a tiny brain and just no sense about him at all about anything. And
yeah,
and so I think Andros, Brad's character, was just saying like, no, dude, there's no way anything, you know, no funny business is going to happen here. We're about to go battle a vampire. And I remember we were standing there and Brad was like, hey, can I just like mess around for a little while? And I was like, yeah, dude, go for it. And it just became the opening kickoff of the Magnificent Seven showdown is this
yeah.
really funny.
One of the more memorable like moments of the entire movie. And he's also a gifted musician as well, and composer, Jack Bradley. I would look him up, highly recommend. A lot of
nice
people in this. Yeah. So yeah.
Well, that's cool. And you guys know all these guys. Did you work together before? You didn't use a casting company or any of that? There was none of that kind of nonsense? It was just, hey, let's call up Jack and see if he's free. And he won.
I mean, we were all connected either through music or through some of the improv comedy theaters here and or Ari's
yeah.
childhood.
Yeah, you know, the Second City, it used to be in my childhood, and Ryan's. Yeah, I mean,
a little bit of Groundlings here and there.
Yeah.
Know.
And then if we couldn't get somebody, then we just doubled our role. Yeah.
You guys are supposed to go have lunch at like the Beverly Hilton and stuff like that to get these deals done. You know, I thought that's how it always happened.
I mean,
I guess not.
How do you know we didn't? No, we didn't. No. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think either of us would be caught dead in an establishment that classy, man.
I don't know if they let me in.
In costume, you'd have to go as Hawk and Red there.
That
would
yeah.
be perfect.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Covered in
yeah,
blood. Hey, do you have a table?
Yeah. The funny thing is, I look exactly like Rev right now. Like, I don't, like, when we've shot stuff in the past, I've usually, like, gotten a haircut or I don't, you know, and right now, you can't mistake me for Rev. Like, I have, you know, especially with the pandemic, the beard, the long hair, and stuff
right.
like that. Like, if I were to put on those glasses right now, it would be, there's no mistaking that this is a, you know, kind of a creepy.
And there's always
dude.
Part of me in Hawk. Or part of Hawk and me, sadly.
Were you acting? I didn't think. I thought that was just you.
Yeah.
Well, that's
oh
awesome. Well, gentlemen,
so
you know, whatever I can do to help, you know, get this out and whatnot, I'm at your disposal. You know, it's a
Thank
fantastic
Thanks so
film,
much, man.
And I can't wait till it's at the point where everybody can see it. You know, outside of the festival circuit and what I know that's rough too. A lot of people, this is something else I learned. I did not know this. I've been to a couple film festivals. I thought the film festivals contacted the filmmakers and they sent in their film, and there was no checks written or anything like that. You know, it was kind of like a, oh, we pick you, you know, like a VIP room at a club or something.
Mm.
I didn't realize mm-hmm. that, you know, that's a big chunk of change sometimes, because it ain't cheap, you know.
Oh yeah, man. There's some. There's definitely some very cynical people like using festivals as a way to make an income, and they are for sure taking advantage of filmmakers.
which is a bummer.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Because at the end of the day, like, everybody, you know, anybody who makes anything, including their very first short, is just really hoping to screen it for people outside of their
right.
family.
Right.
You know, and it's just such a weird thing. I mean, the cool thing about Hawk and Rev that I discovered going back and forth with all these different festival organizers and programmers was that while we are an unclassifiable movie, really, because we could play genre or straight ahead movies, festivals, mm-hmm. we're also kind of Hollywood-y as well. So they can sort of use us as a midnight movie. They can put us in a comedy thing. They can put us in a horror thing as counter programming.
Right.
And I feel like that at what? First I was like, oh God, no, we need a niche, you know, otherwise they're just going to pass us over and over again. But it turns out, I think that's what makes reviewers love it, is that pastiche. And then I think that's also what's going to get it the largest audience. So I'm really happy you're able to do that, you know.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another. A friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please, visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
It's almost like
yeah.
you guys planned it. That's awesome.
I think it's kind of like letting the audience find the niche, right? I mean, in some respects, it's like, hey guys, here's
yeah.
the movie. How would you categorize this with your friends?
Exactly.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think like,
the freedom,
you know,
to do that.
That's where you can get into the midnight movie, you know, cult movie territory, is where it's just sort of on its own, but super accessible. And I think
I'm telling you, it is fantastic. I wish, you know, pre pre-COVID, every Halloween in our family, my in-laws have the big Christmas party, and you know, everybody does the different houses. My sister-in-law throws a party for Thanksgiving. Mm. You know, it's always something.
Yeah.
Our thing, mine and Dan's thing, has always been Halloween. We throw these ginormous Halloween parties, and you know, we usually play a movie or two. And this year we're not able to do that, of course. But I was kind of bummed because even Danny, when we were watching it, she's like, "This would have been perfect for a Halloween." And I'm like, "Yes, it would have been." You know.
Yeah.
But you know, the cool thing about Halloween is it happens every year. So you know.
Next Halloween.
That's right.
Hopefully we'll be through all this business by then, and we can actually all take our kids trick-or-treating and then sit down and, you know, watch Little Hawk and Reb.
There you go.
We'll have lots of bonus features by then. A lot of fun extras by then. Director's commentary.
Well, you know, the cool thing, what you guys were saying about having all these different scenes and whatnot, you can do like George Lucas. You know, when this becomes a mega hit and it's just everywhere, then you can release the director's cut, the assistant director's cut. You know, just keep it going. And, you know,
I'm trying to think of what we would put in that.
Oh my God! Like the PA's cut. The PA's just like
that's
this movie
cut.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Ryan,
I love it.
Cold. Give me another.
At some point we were planning on doing a hawk themed self defense class. So Hawk tries to
that's right.
Rev some self defense. And then we were going to have Rev try to teach Hawk some yoga and some Tai Chi like he does in the
movie. Like PSA, like infomercial type of things. We were going to do like some like, do you want to get inner peace and all this stuff? And like, yeah, that was our fantasy.
You know,
it didn't end up happening. But,
you totally could, like, where these, you know, there's certain movies that have done that where they've had all these, I think Cloverfield was one of them. Where they have all this extra stuff. You could totally have like Rev doing, you know, vegan cooking or yoga on YouTube, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And just tie it all in. Because I'm sure, Ari, you have so much time on your hands, and Ryan.
absolutely.
They're like, no, we're working our asses off. What do you guys, I know how you Tollywood types can be sometimes, until the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. Sometimes you can't talk about upcoming projects. Do you have any you can talk about that you're working on now?
Well, we shot another movie that's almost done with post-production called Listen Carefully.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's psychological. It's kind of like Jacob's Ladder for new parents.
Really? Holy crap.
Yeah.
I got to see it, man. I got to see it.
Yeah, man.
As soon as it gets right in touch.
It's pretty awesome.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
it's a little more intense. We're I think the last steps of post production are going to be trying to inject more dark comedy and irony into it, so it's not as serious as it is right now. That's the next thing.
Yeah,
where are you guys on again?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's lots of development going on, just, you know, people with that project and other things. And I mean, it's been a fun, before all the pandemic stuff happened, it was a fun, busy year of just lots of, I don't know. It seemed, I just had a kid. Well, I had just had a kid. He's 18 months old. But it felt like it still feels like I just had a kid. And it's like everything happened at once, right, when I had the kid, like all this great stuff was, you know, we were wrapping up Hawk and Rev and all these great jobs were happening, and then the pandemic happened. But now it's just like, okay, what can we do within the parameters of the pandemic right now? Can we, let's just keep development going on things, and, you know, because it's tough. You know, there's been, like, you know, not to go down the rabbit hole of this, but, like, it is tough for people to feel, you know, motivated and stuff like that. And for me, it's just been like, okay, here's an opportunity right now. Let's bucket list project, this work on this stuff and this work on that. And I hopefully there's, I'm really looking forward to what's going to come out of all of this kind of like hunkering down and getting creative. And then once we can kind of mellow out and present our stuff, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah,
I'm excited to be back on set with people who are not afraid of getting sick. You know, that will be good.
Right. Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah.
That'll be very good. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, and I'm not making light of any. I know people have died and are getting sick, and it sucks. You know,
sure.
I've seen a million things in my life. I've never seen anything like this. You know, it's
yeah.
I don't think anybody has. And you know, I remember I've been with my gal for, I don't know, like 10 years or, you know, 8 years, I guess. And she finally, you know, we finally got married. We got married in March, beginning of March, right before this happened, you know, lockdown. And I remember being at the wedding reception. I was very cavalier. And, you know, me and my friends are there, and we're all kind of joking. You know, my wife had an aunt that was there that was very, you know, washing her hands all the time and slathering on, you know, being smart like you're supposed to. And we're all kind of laughing in our hands at her, you know, like, oh man, look at her all paranoid. And every a week later, you know, I'm worried that, you know, Mad Max is going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Like,
totally.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I remember
the Mohawk, not the guy chained to the Mohawk. You know?
Right. We were in the valley in LA here, driving, in the valley, and this is when it really hit me that something crazy was happening. There's this one area of the valley where there's 7 or 8 gun shops just in this 2-block area, and just happened to be driving through there, and there were lines around the block in front of every one of the gun shops. And I was like, holy crap, dude. This is like the beginning of a really, like, you know, like a zombie movie. I was like,
absolutely.
Well,
I mean, for me,
where I live in, my wife and we have a house in South Central area, and it used to be like there'd be guys selling flowers, and all of a sudden that changed to be selling masks. There's no more flowers being on street. Just they were just
nice.
Starting to sell masks everywhere, and I was like, okay, this is a new one for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's, yeah, I mean, you know, I my heart goes out to, you know, it's, everyone has a different experience right now. You know, it's tough. You know, I mean, we have I'm lucky that my kid is 18 months. And so he kind of is not going to really remember it. But at the same time, you know, he's got lots of energy, but he's in this good pocket age. But like, it's tough on everybody right now. And I think that, you know, there's this desire to also just be like, you know, how can I be as creative as possible? How can I get as much stuff as done possible? And I think that the main thing is it's just like, be kind to yourself, be good to yourself, make sure your family's good. And then, you know, kind of focus on that. Because I know when this all started, I was like, I'm going to write 10 movies, you know, like, you know, when it started. And then after the first month, I'm like, I'm exhausted. I can't, I'm not sleeping. Yeah. So it's a surreal time. I think movies like this and just banding together and village mentality. Sorry, go ahead, Ryan. I could go on forever.
I was going to say, Hawk and Rev is the antidote to all that seriousness. You don't have to go out to have a good time. You can sit and turn your brain off and watch the movie. You know. I would love for some of these festivals to do like some more kind of Zoom viewing interaction stuff. I feel like
absolutely
that could be really fun, man, to watch Hawk and Rev with like hundreds of people all over the world all zooming in. I feel like that would be hilarious.
I would love that. Yeah,
you know, and you know, the technology's there. I watch the DJ I like every week, and you know, he does his show. And then he's got like the live chat next to it where people all over the world are, you know, I like this track.
Right.
This track sucks. And they talk. But you're right. You're right, Ryan. This is definitely the antidote. I remember being, you know, speaking of the 80s and stuff, I remember being a kid and that movie The Day After came out. It was a TV movie about the nuclear annihilation. And my father was like, absolutely not. You're not watching that. It ain't going to happen. And I snuck into the basement and I watched that movie, and man, it messed me up. It messed me up. You know, I was hiding canned food under my bed, you know, and until my father explained, we live 3 miles from an airbase. You know?
That's hilarious.
You put all the canned soup you want under there, son. It's not going to matter.
I definitely went to bed doomsday with this just because I was a new parent, even though, you know, it's affecting kids less, whatever, that doesn't mean anything. My wife had to kind of tell me to tone it down just a little bit, you know, with kind of, I wasn't stockpiling toilet paper, I have you, but I certainly was like, all right, this is, I'm ready, let's do it. And
no,
I was like,
you,
you know, and yeah.
Last week messed me up, man. I saw the news thing on Twitter because everybody's like, well, if you're healthy, you know, you have a much – and then the Rock comes out, and him and his whole – I'm like, I don't think you could be more healthy than – you know,
one to watch. Yeah.
The Rock can get it, you got to watch out.
Yeah. Like, I love The Rock. I just want to throw that in there. I have a lot of time for The Rock. I just wanted to throw that in there, just since we threw The Rock out there. My mother-in-law is in love with The Rock, and The Rock is just, I feel like he's universally loved. I mean, I don't know.
Dude, my mom,
if he
my
ran
mom
for president,
from Zimbabwe loves The Rock. I mean,
everyone
loves The Rock.
There's a whole website called ArieSchneider.com that they love Rock there, you know?
Right. All right, it is me. That's me who's climbing that mile-high peak with one hand, just dangling. Now, I don't want to take credit for that guy's work, but that's good.
I could.
That was too good. That setup was too good.
You know, the funny thing is, before we started, I asked Ryan and Ari, I'm like, yeah, you guys are good for like 15, 20 minutes, right? And I kept them way longer than that, and I apologize.
That's okay. We don't have anything better to do. Yeah. This is great.
I appreciate it. Man. Well, again, folks, the name of the movie is Hawk and Rev, Vampire Slayers. And we have a link, we have a couple links to the official Hawk and Rev Facebook page. I suggest everybody goes there, likes it, shares it, help get the word out, man. And we also have a link to rgbfilms.com. And, you know, the big mystery of that, ladies and gentlemen, that's Ryan Barton Grimley.
Yes, sir.
Ryan Barton, RGB. He's smart.
Not to be confused with RGB. Yeah, not to be confused with the Supreme Court Justice. Just equally badass. Yes.
He's just so much smarter than me. I can't compete, damn it.
Exactly. We both have our doppelgangers. Oh, man.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Well,
thanks so much for having us, man.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Anytime, man. I would have you guys on once a week if I could. You guys are hilarious. And hey, I'm going to tell you this. You guys both know this. Keep doing what you're doing. You guys are so good at this, you know? I really like this film. Fantastic.
We really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much, man. That means a lot, dude. Appreciate it.
I can't wait to see the psychological thriller, The Mind Bender. That's going to be cool.
The Mind Bender.
Oh, there's your tagline. I'm
have
sorry.
Your mind
I'm just being silly. Have your mind bent.
I really like that, actually.
There we go.
Oh,
man. Well, cool. Well, gentlemen, I'll get this out, and, you know, it'll be dropping soon. And thank you so much for taking time to be on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
Anytime. Talk to you soon.
Be safe. Take care. Bye.
And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. How about that? Ryan Barton Grimley and Ari Schneider. This has been a fantastic episode. I really, and you guys, I will be updating you. Don't worry. Say, well, we can't see the movie yet, Jamie. Not a problem, man. As soon as it gets distribution and it is out and we figure that out, I'm going to stay right in touch with Ryan and Ari, and I will, believe me, we'll have him back on the show. That'll happen. And I will let everybody know on all of my social media, of course, blog and all of that. As anybody who follows or me or goes to my website knows, yeah, Jamie likes to post a lot. I do. we will definitely get the word out. This episode, of course, will be dropping as a podcast directly, probably be posted in about an hour. This is episode, what is this? Episode 1019. How about that, huh? Man, it amazes me still. It'll be on all of the social media platforms and all the podcasting platforms. We're on like 250 of those. The big ones, of course, are Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and on Spotify. Now, I got it. I get emails every week about this. They're like, well, you're talking about the Spotify, but not all the episodes are. Don't worry about it, man. The last 300 are on there. If you want to, you got a lot of time on your hands. You want to hear me talk to some really cool people. The other 700 episodes are archived on my website, www.jamierocks.us. And, you can listen to them all you like, or you can download them and send them to your friends. Whatever you want to do, man. Whatever you want to do. Okay, I am out of here. We will be back next time. We will see you then. When are we coming back? Later this week. Oh, that's right. On the Glass. We've got one of the main actors from On the Glass. It's going to be on Thursday. That's a cool movie, man. I just watched that as well. If you dig the movie, and I hate comparing stuff because it doesn't do justice to the project, but it's kind of in the vein, different story and all this and that. But if you dug The Talent of Mr. Ripley, you're going to dig this film. It's kind of that, it's a killer, a smart killer who's, those are the scary ones. Okay, so that'll be this Thursday. We will see you then. Have a good one, everybody. And, and a final thought, too. If you are going out, we all have to leave at some point, and you're going shopping or whatever it is you're doing, man, be nice to the people working out there, man. They've dealt with crazies all day long. And, they don't need you in any nonsense. Just be nice. Get what you need. Be good to people. You'll feel better about yourself. So there you go. Okay, we are out of here. We will see you next time. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.